And with Stephen Quayle, and we'll take your phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, you must be very proud of Stephanie's work, huh?
Oh, I am. I was fortunate to be with her at the National Rodeos, College Rodeos in Casper, Wyoming, and she just brought down the house. You know, she's really, she writes all her own stuff, George, and that's what, you know, obviously it's as a father who's watched his daughter just basically slug it out on her own. I'm there to help her. Obviously, you know, she's doing an amazing job. She's marketing everything on the internet. By the way, she's got a great video on YouTube called Sophia. And if anybody wants to see what my daughter looks like, I mean, she's just outstandingly beautiful on the inside and outside.
Must look like her mother.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, thank you a lot. I do take credit for it. You know, it's funny because, as I told you, sometimes when I'm with her, people don't believe that she's my daughter. I said, listen, I'm not that kind of a guy. And I pull out my driver's license. I said, in Montana, we're not, you know, we don't think those kind of things. But she's really, really, really a gifted young lady. I told her, too. I said, you know, Steph, I think you're missing the boat. You could go into any corporation in 2 days. She can multitask like no one I've ever met.
She likes to sing.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm saying, you know, she can multitask. So, you know, basically it's what dad thinks would be best for her versus what she wants to do. And again, I'm just, you know, I'm really, really proud of her. And she's got some great musicians with her. I mean, some of the best in the West Coast. I think she's going to be maybe changing her location, though, to Texas, which would make me happy. I like Texas a lot, you know.
That's a good state.
It's a good state, and they appreciate, you know, original country music. And she's got a flair, and she's got a personality, and her music represents her talent, her flair, and her personality.
How old was she when you realized she's got this talent, this musical talent?
Well, I got to tell you a funny story. She went to Switzerland as an exchange student, and she sends me a tape from the Montreux Jazz Festival telling me that she and her band, I said, your band, you're supposed to be an exchange student. You're not supposed to do that. Well, she said, I really met some cool guys, and she used to sing jazz, which she's really accomplished that. So that was when she was 16, and I bought her first guitar, and she just absolutely, that's what she wanted to do. And so at age 18, she basically loaded up her car and moved to the West Coast and started with some, you know, all-girl. She had an all-girl band. By the way, I remember being in her house when Randy Jackson came by and listened to him. You know, at that point, in my opinion, they weren't polished enough, but it was kind of fun because then she started playing the clubs, and a lot of people that I know in Montana who also live in California said, hey, I saw Stephanie here or there or whatever. So she was 16 and, you know, in Europe at the jazz festival, and I thought she was going to just do a home recording, you know, on a little cassette or anything. So she hands me a CD, and I'm going, you know, where have I been? I'm out of touch. So now I try and stay in touch.
Good for you. Let's take some calls, as promised, for the full hour now with Stephen Quayle. We'll pick it up by going to Chris in New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, George, I just want to let you know you're my favorite Gemini next to Johnny Depp.
There you go. That's good. Okay. That's good company.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Basically, I have two questions for you. On the last show or previous time you were on, you talked about a giant in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
And that the military was confronted with. And I basically want to know the any update on that situation. And secondly, my other question is basically you talk about how the movies are taking this information and putting it through the reel. I just want to know, like, how do you feel like in the future they'll confront, like, with the giant information? Like, how would they, like, bring it to the mainstream? How do you feel they're going to approach it? Do you feel they're just going to let the cat out of the bag, or are they going to do it gradually like they always do?
All right. Take that one first, Stephen.
Well, yeah, I want to take that one first. Have you seen Splice yet? Caller? Is he still on the air or not? Well, first of all, I think they're already doing it, George, and they're doing it at an accelerated pace because we've had movies like Legion. We've had the fallen angel theme has shifted from being bad guys to good guys, and I'm saying this, the fallen angels are not the good guys, but they come supposedly to protect the world against an angry God, which is completely the opposite of the gospel. So I think that Hollywood is absolutely owned and controlled, and they're already accelerating the rate at which you're going to introduce the public to this.
And now the Afghan story.
I talked to the pilot a week ago, and I said, have you had any feedback from any of the people that were with you. He said, no, we know that it was flown to Ramstein Air Force Base, and we know that from there it was taken, I believe, to Wright Pat. Now, why Wright Pat is interesting is obviously all of the alien artifacts, or a lot of the alien artifacts that have come out of Roswell were also taken to Wright-Patterson. Now, Wright-Patterson's got, you know, the visible and everything that's significant is underground. And I don't think people understand, George, how big some of these military bases are underground. I think everybody thinks it's like a school cafeteria and everybody lives in bunks. It couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I mean, these things are huge. So that's, and I did talk to him a week ago. And by the way, he did offer. He said, look, Steve, I know you get a lot of crap by a lot of people that don't believe what I did. And he said, I can tell them what I flew. And by the way, you know, just for the record, he also said that the training missions of the C-130s in Colorado were to drop supplies to, here's his words, not mine, federal troops that are basically going into the mountains to hunt out the Patriots. So those were his words, not mine.
Absolutely. Next up, we go to Monica in Houston, Texas, west of the Rockies. Hi, Monica.
Hey. Stephen, I just wanted to ask you about the Statue of Anubis you talked about in the New York Harbor recently. Now it's at the Denver International Airport, along with that blue stallion, the horse statue with the red glowing eyes. It's there as well. What's the significance behind that?
Well, Denver has become, if you will, the New World Order's new capital for the 10 regions that the United States will be split up into. And the interesting thing about Denver International Airport, all the murals are very occult-like in their meaning hidden meaning. By the way, occult means occluded.
Strange artwork.
Though. Strange artwork. And the thing is that Anubis is, you know, the god of death. And the thing is that the underworld. So what I'm telling everybody is what, and I think it's a prophetic picture of where we are as a country. Again, we were blessed by the living God. We walked in his ways. We acknowledged him. I don't care what the atheists, agnostics, or people said. We did. We were a different country then. We had quality of life. A man's word meant what it meant. We had people that were defending the country because they wanted their children and grandchildren to have a better life. We were a nation of immigrants, legal immigrants, that people came here because they had the opportunity. And I see Anubis, if you will, as a prophetic picture of the end times, of the reign of Antichrist, because remember, under Pharaoh's reign, Moses challenged the power of hell through Pharaoh, and Pharaoh challenged the power of the living God. So I would say this, the life that America once had is being replaced literally by the angel of death.
Okay, we go now to Joe, truck driving in Tennessee on the wild card line. Joe, it's your turn. Hi, Joe.
Morning.
Yeah.
I just want to ask about, in my limited education, I remember back in the early 2000s, they talked a lot about genetic diversity in humanity. There's not a whole lot of genetic diversity. How does that fit into this overall story? That's pretty much it.
I'm not sure I understand your question. I'm not understanding, George, what he's asking.
Well, basically, if I can paraphrase him, he wants to know about, you know, in the ancient days, how genetically people were so different.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. Thank you. In the olden days, when I say this, I'm talking like, let's say this, the amount of cosmic radiation has a lot to do, as well as gravitational pull and everything, has a lot to do with sizing, and the atmospheric quality in those days was different than it is now. So the point is that the genetic diversity, look, you can't get away. You know, we base our, I want to throw this in, we base our whole hexadecimal system on that which we inherited from the Sumerians. The hexadecimal system was based on six fingers. I don't think people know that. And the fascinating thing is, when you're dealing with the clay tablets found at Assurbanipal, you know, one of the ancient sites of the giants, the point is that you're dealing with men of great stature that even when they're seated, the people who are approaching them look like pygmies, okay? And on my website, and I don't know if you're listening, caller, but on my website, you can go to the special that we put up for tonight's Coast to Coast, and you can click on the photo, actually the artist illustration on the top, and it shows the seven kings of Nimrod dog. Now, why are there seven kings, giant kings, in Turkey? And also you have the seven Moai statues on Easter Island, and you have the seven sages in the Orient. See, all these things are related, and they all go back to the giants. So there were diversities, and just like I quoted out of the Bible, the Old Testament talks about the lion men of Moab, and there were different tribes and different variations of the giants in the land of giants and also throughout the world. For instance, Quetzalcoatl, who the Aztecs worship, he's always pictured as a plumed, if you would, like somebody that just stepped off the stage of B, the science fiction movie. So B, I'm convinced that Hollywood took the ancient literature and built off that for the alien invaders.
What do you think the life expectancy was of the giants of the past?
That's a great question. We know this, that during the period of Methuselah was the oldest living man ever recorded, 969 years old. The giants, if they're put into stasis, George, or suspended animation, I'm told it's almost indefinite, because right now, the military, there was a story that Wired News carried last week about being able to freeze soldiers and then bring them back to life. They only tell you they're doing it on small cellular strains of this cell or that cell. But I can tell you this, that even the movie Super Soldier, remember that one?
I sure do.
That isn't science fiction. That's science fact. DARPA openly admits to having a super soldier program. And that means, for instance, they find the genes in the eagle's eyes, and that gives the eagle superior sight, and they integrate that into the human genome. They find the way that salamanders can regrow their tails, and that's, they're looking for, obviously, ways for the human body to heal itself. That's why I didn't finish my statement. When I talked to the guys that fight these things in real life, they said you have to use solid copper, not copper jacket or bullets. And then he said, and when you're done, Steve, you got to cut their heads off, because there's so much, what you would say, that electromagnetic power. It's almost like the Green Man with Sean Connery, that literally, that's why Goliath's head was cut off by David. And, you know, the point is that I didn't know that. See, I can't know all this stuff unless the people that know this tell me. And it's fascinating, George. You remember seeing on my website a little emblem? It was like a gold piece with a picture of a giant holding out something to someone smaller. It's on my website. It's an emblem. It's under the photographs. A lot of people all over the world wanted that out of my possession. And for the sake of honesty, I did not possess it. I was allowed to take pictures of it. It was found at Nemrut Dog in Turkey, the place that I have the artist illustration. And that is something that a lot of people want. When I say a lot of people, very powerful people, and obviously they wanted it really bad. I'll only leave it at that to say this, because there are specific artifacts, and I don't know what it could or couldn't do, but evidently the people that knew what it could do wanted it really bad. And the person that brought it to me was a elderly woman whose father was an archaeologist, grandfather was an archaeologist. Mm-hmm. She was 70, and she found it in the area of the giants. And that had a lot to do with the authority of whoever possessed that, a talisman, whatever you want to call it, seemingly had a lot of authority in the realm of the giants.
Okay, we go to David in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, yes, I have a theory of mine and that I would like to get your thoughts on and a question.
Sure.
Okay, I think that maybe the Illuminati or maybe some other secret organization is creating these creatures genetically in some underground base, let's say like the Dulce base, to maybe unleash them against humanity at some point in the future, like Legion, you know, God send the angels to take care of humanity.
Yes, absolutely.
And the question is, I don't know if you ever seen this documentary called The Devil's Miner?
No.
Well, it's about kids in Bolivia who are digging in mines for gold. And at some point during the digging, they come across these reptilian beings that they call, that they depict as the devil. And there's a statue of a reptilian, and they have to worship the reptilian in order to go in there and dig for the mine. Otherwise, that it will eat their soul and eat the human, their humans. And I'm just wondering if you ever come across anything like that.
Well, yeah, I do. And it's fascinating you should say Colombia, because Colombia has a lot of underground cave structures, and the Colombian government is more than aware of what exists under their cave structure. That's where, George, if you remember that little alien we did the show on?
Yes.
And that's on my website. Let me tell you a story, and I want the caller to hold on because this maybe will answer. Yes, the Illuminati is bringing these things forth. Yes, listen, a friend of mine I know, a deep background source, said that, yeah, you know, he was basically taken to an island. He was in the military, and it's in the, you know, the Marianas Trench region around Kwajalein, but not Kwajalein. And in this base, they were genetically producing hybrids, okay? There were alien spacecraft and weapons technologies that he said that were absolutely unimaginable. And he said they were forthright types, you know, obviously. And the DOE, Department of Energy, and by the way, Department of Energy is probably one of the most powerful. It sounds kind of innocuous. People think of, you know, hydroelectric power and nuclear power. But the DOA is really deep and controlling a lot of money in the black ops. But anyway, this is called the Island of Dr. Moreau. That's what the guy called it. And he basically was escorted, George, on an airplane back from this island by a six-fingered gentleman, 7.5 feet tall, who happened to tell him, he said, "I could kill you with a touch of my finger, but I'm under orders not to."
Now, do you think these hybrids might be a mix of a human with animal genetics?
Yes. It's a human with a mix of everything genetics.
Yeah, I heard that Bigfoot is a mix with a bear with human genetics.
No,
I don't
that's
know.
Not that, and that's not true because I actually asked that. Okay, as you know, basically a bear is primarily a quadruped. It walks on four legs. Every Bigfoot encounter worldwide, there is never a report of it being on four, you know, its arms and legs. That's not true. I'm just telling you point blank. I've been told by the guys that no, that's not true.
Why can't we catch one, Stephen? Not put it away, not shoot it, but why can't we just find one?
Well, first of all, the same people that keep the bones hidden, they're the ones in charge of when these things either break out or break through. Break out meaning from underground bases. And by the way, most of the U.S. contemporary sightings are around underground military bases, deep underground military bases, which Richard Sauter has done a lot of investigation on. But the thing is that, George, the answer to that is the people that keep this stuff secret send out teams, and if they don't, you know, go through the gate or go through the dimensional door, they basically take them, and I don't know how they control them with an electrical neural impulse, some type of control, but they monitor those guys really well. And by the way, when people like me go out and try and find this stuff, it's amazing who we find in our rearview mirror.
By the way, this devil's miner is kind of scary. It talks about a devil who eats people.
Yep. Well, see, this is the thing, too. I think I told you on Coast to Coast I was dealing with one of the producers for Spielberg, and they wanted to take my giant stuff and said they'd be interested because I had submitted a script, but they wanted to turn the giants into nice, you know, basically friends of kids. And I said, well, Shrek has already done that, but the historicity of what I'm trying to tell, and by the way, Shrek is an ogre, and an ogre is a giant in history who eats, you know, children. So the point is that we're dealing with a very real set of individuals out there, the Illuminati. They control the technology. They control the release of information. And I think the previous caller asked if they were speeding it up, or one of the previous callers. Absolutely, they're speeding it up. All the movies are coming out, and they're all basically sinister. And it's again, the fallen angels, the Hollywood's making them into the good guys, and God into the bad guy.
Stephen, stay with us for final phone calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with stories of high strangeness. She normally is on the last Thursday of every month, but Linda's on a very early Thursday morning assignment. She's got to catch planes, so we'll have her on Wednesday on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back with Stephen Quayle, we'll take final calls. Stephen, text message in from Jerry in L.A. He wants to know what the difference is between the Illuminati and Freemasons.
Well, oh boy, that's a whole show in itself. But basically, the Illuminati, there are Freemasons in the Illuminati, but not all members of the Masons are in
the
Illuminati, okay?
That is very true.
But all Illuminists are Illuminists. Basically, the Illuminati swears their allegiance to Lucifer. They believe that Lucifer is God. So when you hear even politicians saying thank God or God bless America, you got to understand that the God they're talking about isn't the God of the Bible, who is the father of Jesus. And Jesus basically is not in the cards. You know, it's interesting because, George, it's the Illuminati, means the illuminated ones, with the light of Lucifer. And I do go into this pretty greatly, and I got to share this. My books, I don't believe, will be available much longer. This isn't a sales pitch. It's just that depending on the events I see unfolding in an accelerated rate and pace, meaning, you know, probably through the summer, but even quicker than that, can things fall apart, especially in the economic realm. I wrote a book called Aliens and Fallen Angels, Offspring of the Gods, and The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race are the subtitles. And then Genetic Armageddon, and they're only available, you know, online, either through my website or by calling 719-547-9100. That's 719-547-9100, because people are sending me emails, George, saying, well, they're not at Amazon, or I can't get them at Borders, or I can't get them at Barnes & Noble. No, you can't. And some of the information here is going to help you put things into perspective. And so the other book I'm going to encourage people to get is Stan Deo's Cosmic Conspiracy, because again, people don't understand that there is a multi-dimensional war going on. Basically, it boils down to Jesus or Lucifer. And I get emails from Luciferians, I mean literal ones. I get emails from all of the people saying the war is on, Christian. And I'm telling everybody, they say, what should I do? And I say, for those of you that, you know, that believe that this stuff is coming down or know that it's coming down, it's time to repent and get right with Jesus. You know, here's the thing. When you're dealing with spiritual warfare, and I'm talking about the stuff that you can't see that goes bump in the night, the neat thing about it is there is a protection. Even when it comes to alien abductions, there's a different outcome for the Christians that stand and resist this stuff in the name of Jesus. So when people say, what should I be doing? I tell them, George, this is personally for me. I'm repenting and I'm getting right with the Lord. As I said, you can't do talk radio, deal with controversial subjects, and be a happy-go-lucky guy who turns the other cheek all the time. I'm not a pacifist. And it infuriates me that the Luciferians and Illuminati are getting ready to make a giant blood sacrifice of humanity. And I'd say 1.4 billion people dying should make everybody furious. But there seems to be this thing, unless it happens to them, like we talked earlier, mm-hmm. they don't believe it's real. So Order Ab Chao is the Illuminati's plan. In other words, everything of the old has to go. That means the Christian basis of the Ten. And look, the Ten Commandments are still great. Men can come up with 1,000, but men at 1,000 cannot do God at 10, you know? And what's wrong with loving your brother? You see, the thing is that there are people looking for a political solution. They're looking, people thinking, well, if we just get enough people to rally to what? We're dealing with stuff that is going to be so primordially devastating, and that's probably not a word, but I just made one up. The thing is that it's going to shock the very inner a realm of man when people see things they've never seen before, when they have to fight things they've never had to fight before. And again, as I've told this story on Coast to Coast before, when you've got the most dangerous men in the world, meaning these are trained men to fight anything, literally dying of heart attacks, not all of them, but some of them, or literally having their hair turn gray instantly, I can tell you the hardest thing has been for me is to deal with this stuff, and I fight it all the time. What do I tell people versus what, and I pray all the time, Lord, what do I tell them versus what do they need to know versus just titillating with stuff that is so awesome and horrible that is there any point in saying it? Do you follow what I mean by that?
Sure do.
Some things are better left unsaid. And I can say this, of all the stuff that I've gotten into, I can tell people, though the peace comes in knowing that, and for me it comes in knowing Jesus said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age. Not the end of the world, the end of the age. And he'll never forsake us. And see, the thing is that, look, ultimately we all believe in something. Some people trust in the strength of their physical prowess. Some people trust in their swordsmanship. Literally, I got guys that are saying, I'll take them on with my swords. I say, good luck. You'll be lucky to come up to their kneecaps. The point is that we're dealing with now a spiritual blueprint, specifically spelled out in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. And Stan Deo and his Cosmic Conspiracy, which, by the way, is available at that number, 719-547-9100, he's the guy that goes into all the details. So, with George, everything is culminating. It's like all the spokes in the rim of a tire coming into the hub. It's all syncing up. And this tire is going to absolutely bring on the reign of Antichrist, and he's going to slaughter, and he's going to slaughter marvelously. And I think the Christians have better understand something, that if they lose their savor, meaning the salt that loses its savor is henceforth good for nothing. I saw a guy posting tirade. Excuse me, what is wrong with saying love your neighbor? What's wrong with not coveting your neighbor's wife? Excuse me, what's wrong with doing the things that we used to do as a nation, and now we've just gone totally corrupt? I believe, too, that if you want to know where America stands in Bible prophecy, the dispensationalists have it all wrong. America is Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon, you cannot have the greatest nation in the history of the world, technologically and everything, even though we're, 300 years old, but you cannot have that not being mentioned. And it's a mystery until it unfolds. It used to be people were looking for the time to say, okay, it's the time for the event. Now it's the event that declares the time. And once you understand that, it puts prophecy into a whole different period. So I'm not looking at a time as such, because everybody would like to know, what happens next week, next year, whatever. But the events are happening so fast and furious that seriously, you're going to either have to trust yourself or trust God, or then the people that email me say they trust Lucifer, and we win, and you don't. I said, I've read the back of the book.
Who's the Antichrist?
Who's the Antichrist?
Yeah.
The Antichrist will be possessed by Lucifer himself. The Bible in 1 John teaches that there are many Antichrists. And by the way, the spirit that denies Jesus Christ as Lord is the spirit of Antichrist. I got news for you.
But no names, though.
No names at this point. I will say this, that the current president of the United States certainly doesn't have any love for Christians or Jesus. And so what I'm saying is that the antipathy, the hatred, the attack on God's word, the attack on the foundational principles of this country, the inability to stop evil. Look, the thing is that right now we've got Arizonans being murdered on the border, and a 3,500 acre park, if you will, being given to the drug dealers. And I interviewed the Border Patrol, the head of the Border Patrol, a number of years ago, and he said, Steve, they actually follow us home and tell us if we don't leave them alone, they'll kill our families and kill our lives.
I believe that. Let's take some final calls here, Steve, before we're out of time. Ed in Nashville, Tennessee. Go ahead, Ed.
Hello.
Thanks, Ed. Go ahead.
Hello.
Well, Ed, you got to go. Let's go to Toronto, Canada, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good morning.
Hi.
What I want to ask your guest here, you say that angel came down and have children with a human being. I want to ask him if spirit of blood. And there is Genesis 12 said, man must eat the blood because the life is in the blood. How comes they are not angel who create to procreate with others? So how comes they have children with the human being?
Okay, George, because of my hearing, I can only...
He wants to know about spirit and blood.
Okay.
Does a spirit have blood?
Well, a spirit does not have blood, but when a spirit becomes embodied, the New Testament teaches that Lucifer can even come on as an angel of light. The thing is that the life is in the blood. That's what, and this is interesting, the headhunters of New Guinea and the cannibals of different parts of the world, especially the South Pacific giants, believe that by eating human beings, they took the life force of that which they ate, okay? They assimilated the life force out of the blood. It's the basis of all the fascination with vampires. And I wonder that. I think, isn't this interesting? Supposedly, technologically advanced society now is reverting back to vampires and, if you will, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, my God, it's big stuff now.
It's big stuff. And what is the theme? The theme is the Luciferian, that it takes blood to satisfy your life. It takes blood to live on. And by the way, I've had emails from actual Satan is telling me, you know, that Russ Dizdar, who does a wonderful Shatter the Darkness radio show, and he's got a website by the name Shatter the Darkness, who's really into this stuff, satanic ritual abuse, satanic ritual sacrifice. The point is that, look, this whole thing is blood. You know, if 40 million people die, that's a lot of blood. And so they have to have it. It is the way they literally draw power to basically do the next level of evil. And so we think about 5.5 billion. One time I tried to do this, George, calculate the amount of blood 5.5 billion possess, you know, in quarts, you know, 8 quarts, and did it, and how many stadiums that would fill up, etc. The whole point is to get it across to people that as long as they're not one of the 5.5 billion people, they think no big deal. But these people mean only them live. Everybody else dies.
Next up, we go to Winchester, Virginia. It's Laura's turn. Hey, Laura, thanks for holding.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
There's a YouTuber out there. I believe he's in the Northwest, and he's filmed in the forest what seems to be interdimensional entities forming, and they tend to mess with his camera. They're white, and they're glowing, but then they leave white hair in their travels, making them still three-dimensional. Their hair appears to have been deliberately cut off, and you know, they leave it in many places. And if you go to his website, the last video that he did, which he's titled number 39, you can clearly see a vortex forming. And on his video number 33, you can see these glowing entities forming right in front of the camera. It's unbelievable.
What's the guy's name?
Well, I don't know his name. I can tell you on YouTube, he's called Reality Ghost.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Well, this is something that's happening, too. The electromagnetic weather war modification that's taking place is altering the very fabric, if you will, of what we determine or what we call reality. In other words, the human eye doesn't see into the infrared region or the ultraviolet region. Some of the cameras are so sophisticated, especially Sony's. I know of a special Sony camera that they actually took off the market because it was almost too good. And, you know,
picked up everything.
Guys were using
right?
it on girls, and obviously it had almost like an X-ray feature. But I can tell you that with the phase shifting that's going on in the electromagnetic spectrum, that which is invisible is becoming visible, George. And that's, again, what's going to, I think the caller is there. You're now being able to film that kind of stuff due to the sophistication of the cameras, but also due to the manipulation of the fabric of reality, the visible light spectrum and also sound. What you cannot see invisible light or even ultraviolet or infrared, you can hit with different sound frequencies, you know, and cause, if you will, a shape to form if they're present. In other words, that's what Bigfoot does when they either open or close a portal, and that's what the giants do when they basically psychically, and when I say psychic, that's not really the word I mean, but they, through the electromagnetic projection of their brains, they can do some major damage to people. And again, I want to make this clear. They hunt on the harmonics of our DNA, which means my DNA is totally different from yours, George. But the point is that don't you find it interesting that everybody wants everybody's DNA now?
Well, you never know. Micah in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Micah.
Hey, I'm on a website here, so understand this is not my math. I've asked this question before, but not to you, Steve. It states that in the Book of Enoch, the giants were 3,000 ells tall, which is approximately 3,420 meters, 11,250 feet tall. What do you think about that?
Well, again, you know, it's fascinating because, I don't know that the interpretation of L's is correct, okay? What I'm saying is that's open to a lot of argument. I will tell you this, though, that there are absolute records like the Colossus of Rhodes, which I think stood almost 165 feet tall, that was supposedly lifelike of one of the giants. I don't have an answer for you. I just don't know. But I know this, every time I've asked that question of guys, they say nobody really knows the stature of an L. It's been assumed to be so many feet, you know, but it's not accurate enough. I can tell you this, though, in the Book of Esdras, which is another pseudepigraphal work. It says the angel of God told Ezra that women would give birth to monsters at the time when the inhabitants of the earth will be seized with panic. So, you know, the thing is I think this is where comes the patience of the saints. And also, I tell everybody, look, you got to take, and I have to, I don't mean you, caller, but I mean we all have to take this stuff, process it, and then take it. If you're a believer, you take it to God, you know?
Final calls. Let's go to Albuquerque. Craig, you're up with us. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, you were talking about the vibrational frequency of the Sasquatch making it appear and disappear. Do you think it possible that the vibrationals of sound could expose the shapeshifters? Because I think they shapeshift by vibrational frequency.
Oh, absolutely. I guess you didn't hear what I was saying. You know, I said what you can't see in the ultraviolet or infrared spectrum, you can see by applying different sound frequencies to it. In essence, yeah, I'm saying exactly what you just are proposing.
Do you think if the shapeshifters were exposed to the humans could rise up?
Explain what you mean by that.
Realize that they're being manipulated by shapeshifters, non-humans?
I think if people could hear in the infrasonic realm or had the instrumentation to see, I think they'd be surprised what's influencing them, okay? It's like nobody ever realized that each of the stars and each of the planets and even the sun, which obviously is a star, has its own song. And it was only by developing the instruments that you could even begin to start to hear it. So I would say this. I believe the military and the government has those instruments. I believe, obviously, they know exactly. And if they know how it's being done, I think they can use it against us, too.
Steve, we've got about a minute left. Get your website out, please.
Sure. It's stevequayle.com, steveqayle.com. All my books are available at 719-547-9100, 719-547-9100. And they're only available on the website. Please don't call until 8 in the morning Mountain Time. And again, George, thank you so much for having me on. And I will keep you in the loop on the investigation because, again, nobody wants the bones worse than I do. Nobody wants the DNA worse than I do.
All right, Stephen. Thanks so much.
Bye, George. Thank you very much.
Okay. Stephen Quayle, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget our next program, Linda Moulton Howe joins us. Then on our Thursday show, Glynis McCants will join us for a couple hours, plus one of those surprise guests on Coast to Coast AM. Need to email me? George@coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.